Good to see you all. I'm now on, so you should hear me better. Good morning. It's nice to see you. Glad to have you with us. My message this morning, based on the reading you just heard, is entitled, Don't Invite Jesus to Dinner. So as I was doing my research for this message, something I stumbled across by the Reverend David Howell reminded me of a sort of thought game or an icebreaker that's probably been around for quite a while. We've all probably played it a time or two with other people. It's unbelievably easy to play. Basically, each person takes turn naming three people, real or fictional, living, dead, that they would like to have to dinner. It's actually a kind of a fascinating game to play because you can learn a lot about people by the three people they pick. Anyone want to name their three for us? Anybody want to name the three? No? No? It's probably good that you decided not to. See, possibly more fascinating for those of us who love sociology is to look at the combination of people that some folks pick. Do they pick people with sort of the same interests like Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, or do they go for sort of a diversity of interests like Houdini and Churchill and Anne Frank? Do they look for a pleasant, you know, Oprah, Jimmy Fallon, Patti LaBelle, or something more enlightened, Margaret Thatcher, Hugo Chavez, and Bill O'Reilly? Anyway, it's a fun game to play, and it's a fun game to watch being played. Now, I'd like to add one little caveat to that statement. The game becomes considerably less fun to play if you're a minister and everyone knows you're a minister. The list begins sounding a lot like, well, the artist formerly known as Prince, Nat King Cole, and of course, Jesus. John Stewart, Sean Hannity, and Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that people wouldn't actually want to have Jesus at their dinner party. I'm just saying I've been in a room playing the game when no one knew that I was a minister, and in a room playing the game when people knew I was a minister, and there were very different results. Now, I have to admit, when folks start saying that they'd invite Jesus to their dinner party, I wonder if they really know what they're getting themselves into. I mean, I suppose they could be the sort of Margaret Thatcher, Hugo Chavez, Bill O'Reilly types who really want to have tension at their dinner. But I suspect more than likely they're more the Oprah, Jimmy Fallon, Patti LaBelle types who just want an interesting and polite conversation at the dinner table. Before you invite Jesus to dinner, you really should know what you're getting into. You see, biblically, Jesus has a long and somewhat radical history of just ruining dinner parties. He's not the docile, get along with everyone guest you usually invite to your dinner party. In this scripture today, he uses the gathering as an opportunity to confront power and the games that people play. He turns the tables, making the least the greatest and comforting the commonly and confronting the commonly accepted societal standard. Now, let's just look at the evidence alone in the book of Luke. Early on in the book, Jesus and his disciples are found at a dinner party. But this is not a party full of powerful and important, at least not the way that society sees things. This was a party full of outsiders and despised tax collectors, sinners, and based on the accusations of the Pharisees, they were also gluttons and drunkards. Now, a few chapters later, he lets a woman, described as a sinner, interrupt the dinner party as she cries on his feet, and then he scolds the host of the party for being bothered by it. And then there is, of course, the final dinner party where he uses the opportunity to make his death announcement, accuse someone of betraying him and another of denying him. It's remarkable what you learn when you read your Bible closely and pay attention. Things like, if you want things to be quiet and pleasant at your dinner party, well, Jesus just might not be the person you want there. If you want life to go on unreasonably undisturbed, if you want it to go on reasonably undisturbed, Jesus is probably not the person that you want there. However, if you are ready to be redirected in life, if you are ready to be reconnected with what God wants for your life, if you are ready to be re-inspired, re-instructed, and reconstructed in the image of God's love, well then, you can count on Jesus to get exactly that kind of party started. It does beg the question, what is it with Jesus and dinner party? Admittedly, the title of this sermon is said sort of tongue-in-cheek, in that if we're talking about a contemporary party, I'm not sure we'd see exactly the same behavior from Jesus that we see in the scripture reading. You see, in his day and age, parties were events which provided the opportunity to play games. So, not games like Name Three People, but the more insidious one-upsmanship games of climbing the social, power, and political ladders of the elite. Another thing that you may have picked up on, if you read your Bible closely and paid attention, is that Jesus was not a fan of hierarchies. One time, which we talked about last week, he was even known to have a rather short fuse when the powerful were taking advantage of those who had little, and he started flipping table. What we have today in today's scripture is not so much Jesus flipping tables as much as it is Jesus turning table. As I've mentioned, in his world, dinner parties were full of social games of who's the most important. It's probably part of why an argument broke out at the final dinner as disciples tried to get him to say who was most important. The social games of who's the most important were played out not only in who was invited, but they were played out all the way down to who was sitting where at the table. The closer that you were to the host, the more important you were. I'm guessing that is a big part of why Jesus was a bit of what others might see as a troublemaker at dinner parties. And why, in today's scripture, we hear about Jesus yet again disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed. In today's scripture, he begins slowly turning the tables, and by the end, he has them totally reversed. Now, it seems innocent enough at first. It even plays into various attendees' need to be seen as important and to not lose in the social ladder climbing game. Using just a little bit of logic, Jesus simply points out that within the structure of their ladder climbing game, it would be much more honoring to be asked to move up closer to the host of the party than asked to move away from the host of the party. One shows you're more important. One shows other people that shows you people that others are more important than you. Now, when I read it, I can just about see Jesus watching the reality of that tight logic slowly register on each face. Watching them realize that humility in this case was the best course of action. But just then, turns the tables a little bit more. He says, you know, the ultimate act of humility wouldn't simply be to take the lower seat. He turns to his host in his can't invite him to dinner kind of way, and confronts the host saying, if you really want to be important, at least in the kingdom of God, when you give a dinner, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters and your relatives or your rich neighbors. Instead, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind. There he goes again, disturbing the comforter, comfortable and comforted. You just can't invite to dinner. Now, I know that I said that our dinner parties are a little bit different now, and they are. I mean, sure, we see big political banquets where the rich get invited and those who contribute the most money gets to sit closer to the candidate. But let's face it, Jesus wouldn't get invited to those parties. If we want to have dinner with Jesus, we have to go to the less expected places. As a matter of fact, it's the places where you might find some of the very people Jesus tells the host of the party in our scripture to invite to his dinner. Matthew 25, 37 through 40 tells us, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? The king will answer them, truly I tell you, surely just as you have done it unto the least of these who are members of my family, you did it unto me. While most of our modern-day dinner parties aren't about social and power games, sadly enough, feeding people is becoming a question of social and power games. Several years ago, a church not far from here off of I-40 did something they've been doing for the past 6 years. They went to a city square and fed those who were hungry. This is Jesus. Just as you did it unto one of the least of these, so too you did it unto me. And they were stopped. They were told that if they fed the hungry, they would get arrested. Just as you did it unto one of the least of these, so too you did it unto me. Now, it took a week or so to work it out, but in that particular case, it was resolved positively, at least for now. But I have to say, hearing the rationale that was being given for why it should be illegal, well, it all sounded like reasons that come from places, power, and privilege. The very thing Jesus confronted in today's scripture. As a minister and a follower of Jesus' teaching, it more than worries me. It worries me in part because this was not an isolated incident. It's happened in multiple cities in Florida, in Atlanta, San Francisco. It's even happened in Kalamazoo. We, as a nation, are slowly criminalizing feeding the hungry. In some places, we've basically made it a crime to be publicly homeless. Just as you did it, so too you. Our lesson from Jesus in this reading today is to humble ourselves, even in the face of what society says is to put the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind's needs in front of our own. One small example of how we can begin to do that is through this new outreach program that I mentioned. When we eat, they eat. It's also time for us to begin considering the ways that we can advocate. It's the simple move from charity to justice. Just the very thing that God would have us do. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with God. Because you see, if you ask Jesus, what three people would you invite to dinner? He would say, the helpless, the homeless, and the hungry. To provide you the opportunity to share your thoughts about today's scripture reading or message, anything that may have come up that you feel like the spiritual community here could further learn from or question. Are there those who have anything they'd like to share? David.
I thank you again for your message. I was reminded of two things. One of them, a number of years ago, I spent some time in Trinidad in the West Indies, and they have a category of person there called a mopper. A mopper is somebody that shows up at your party uninvited later in the party to partake of your bounty, and I don't know what that's got to do with your story, but it's an interesting concept. The other one was, it seems to me that when you reach the strata of person that Jesus was working with, it's not just where you're sitting, but whether you were invited.
Exactly.
If you weren't invited,
tells you something right there.
That tells you something too. So you're going to make sure you don't invite Jesus